Hello and welcome to Match Made in Seven, a new podcast series from Northeast-based comedy collective Your Aunt Fanny. During one particularly painful megabus journey last year, seven Fannies had the sudden realisation that there were also seven deadly sins, megabus madness or cosmic coincidence. In this debut series, we will hilariously probe each of the seven deadly sins and what it means to be a young woman or non-binary person partial to one or more of them. Settle in for a pairing of original sketches and frank chat as we invite you into our Fanny universe, where everyone is in on the joke. Before we start, a heads up, this episode will contain strong language, so don't listen to it in the car with your kids in the back, unless you're one of those fun mams. Episode 4, Envy. Hello, and welcome to our fourth podcast episode, I think. And the sin we're going to be chatting about today is envy. I'm Matilda, I'm going to be hosting today's podcast, and I'm joined by
Izzy,
Brogan,
and Katie. Yeah.
So I was looking up the definition of envy this morning, and it said, very prepared. in the dictionary, it said, a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck. Mm. So I thought that was quite a good, meaty definition.
It's in a nutshell, isn't
it? I like the focus on it being like somebody else's things. I thought luck was interesting because I never really think about being jealous of something that you can't control. Like, it's always more something that I think I should be able to be better at, or like that I could have. But it's interesting to think of that. I think in the Bible definition as well, there was a lot of focus on the Cain and Abel story and like him murdering his brother because his dad, well, God or Adam. Who is it?
I don't know. Loved
him more.
Where's Katie when you need her?
I know.
I didn't listen in Catholic school.
So obviously there's like very dangerous ways that it can manifest. I think I wanted to do envy as the sin because I think I've always been very reluctant to admit when I'm jealous, because I've always thought it meant like I was admitting that something wasn't right with myself and I didn't want people to think I didn't have my shit together. And I think that's why I chose it, because I think I actually always quite admire people when they can be really like honest about the fact that they think someone's like better than them in a certain way, or that there's something that they want and really desire.
Talking about the look thing, I feel like people's look is one of the things I get most jealous of.
Really?
Yeah. The things that feel like an absolute fluke. If only the odds were in my favour in that way instead of in theirs. I think that's like it's horrible. I think talking about envy, I feel like your insides are like black.
Yeah.
And like, it's just such a horrible, to me anyway, it feels like such a horrible emotion. Like, it's just like, it's horrible, it's vile, and like, look comes into it quite a lot with me, because I think envy sometimes comes from a place of things feeling unfair. How come they're lucky enough to have a nice house or a nice boyfriend or a nice job, and like, why was that not mine? Why did that not fall into my lap? Why did it fall into their lap instead? And like, what have I done wrong, or what's wrong with me that they get that and I don't, for whatever reason? And I think luck kind of speaks to me.
I know what you mean. It's like right place, right time. When people are like, if I hadn't been there, then I wouldn't met him and I wouldn't have got this job. And you're like, why wasn't I there?
See, I think because I don't really like believe in sort of everything happens for a reason, then everything is my fault. So when I see somebody with something that I want, I'm immediately like, oh, if only I'd worked harder, or if only I'd tried a bit better at this thing, or if only I'd like, I don't know, lost more weight, or earned more money, or whatever thing it is that I feel like they've got, I'd totally put the blame on myself, which is maybe why I feel like I can't admit it that often, because it's so connected to like a insecurity thing.
I think that's really brave of you though, to admit that though, that like, because I think it's easy to hide behind the whole like everything happens for a reason thing, and I think that like you probably find it so tough because you don't have that to hide behind. It's like, going back to Christianity again, it's like, you know, the whole idea of heaven and stuff, it's like a comfort blanket for when you die, you're not just in the ground getting eaten by worms. It's like there's this other place that you can go to, and that's kind of like that whole everything happens for a reason thing. It's like, well, I feel like shit, but actually, you know, it's going to be fine because everything happens for a reason. It's like, actually, no, I feel like shit, and I feel like shit because something shit's happened.
Yeah, like you're going to be rewarded eventually.
Yeah.
It was interesting when you're saying how horrible jealousy makes you feel. When I was like researching it, there was like some reading that I was doing that was talking about how each of the sins is connected to a different part of the body, and envy is connected to the heart. And I was like, of course it is. That makes so much sense, because it's totally really a physical thing, I think. Particularly kind of when you're like, you let it really consume you, like it's totally like a heartbreak almost, I think.
It's like heartbreak. Yeah,
painful.
And to be a knob for a minute,
get in,
Izzy, you'll appreciate this, but your heart chakra's green.
Green
with envy.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Coincidence.
There you go. Everything happens for a reason.
I take it back.
You've changed my mind.
Yeah. I think envy is, I feel like I've struggled with it a lot, and I think it is really painful. I think envy's really like sickening. And it makes you ill, and it drives you absolutely mad.
Yeah.
And I just think it's something I have to really keep on top of. And it is heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's something you were saying the other day was that, like, it's the only one that's a real descent into madness. Mm. I love that phrase. It's the one thing that, like, your whole, like judgment is like clouded, and like you don't really know what you're doing or why you're doing it, but you're just doing it because you're pissed off or jealous, you know. It's like that, it's like a drive, isn't it?
It's strange, isn't it, because you do almost indulge in it. Like, you know, if you're jealous of a particular person, that absolutely does not stop you engaging with them or like looking on their Instagram or whatever. you do the opposite. You don't. And it's funny, isn't it? Because actually that's something that in the rest of our lives we all really try and limit things that we know are bad for us, with that it's almost like you're kind of insatiable for it. Like you need to keep looking, and you really like, it's quite self-destructive really. Like
something I've discovered recently in the past couple of years is that I've found like a new version of envy, which is a nicer version, weirdly. And it's like people who like say I admire like their confidence or like their lifestyle or like just their whole life in general. I'll like envy it, but it won't be from like a place of, oh, fuck her. It'll be like a place of admiration more, which is something I've come to discover. Like there's a few like women I know who like I do see on Instagram or I have a conversation with, and I leave being like so envious of like their just aura to them. And I'm like, oh my God. But it's from a separate place than like a, like eating you up inside kind of envy. It's almost like a warmer side of it, but it still hurts. But it's like, do you know what I mean? Like this is a newfound thing.
Do you think it's like growing up a bit? Do you think it's when you're a little bit more secure in what you've chosen to do?
Yeah,
because there's a certain thing with jealousy when you're younger in particular where you're like, you don't quite know what you want out of stuff yet, so you kind of see everyone else doing these different things and you're like, well, I want to be like that, so and it pains you that you're not.
Yeah, whereas don't know who you are yet. Well, I'll be like her.
Yeah. Whereas when you kind of know a little bit better, you can still feel envious, but without wanting to change.
It's the people I have this feeling towards are like polar opposites of me. So like I was saying the other day, I was saying about like how, what's the word again? Fickle. Like how fickle I can be sometimes when I'm like, I'm going to move to the countryside. I'm going to move to London. I'm not going to do anything. And it's like, so the people who I have this feeling towards are completely different than me. But I don't want to change too much about myself to become them. I almost like look at them and like, oh, if I had done this in my life, I would have been more like this. But I'm happy that I'm not, but I'm still envious that you kind of do you know, you live your life like as someone who I am not, but I can appreciate it rather than, you know, like what I said before, like have it like as an obsession and let it eat it up, like eat its way inside and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely a form of envy that that has arisen in the past couple of years that I've noticed.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like, again, there's an element of indulgence in it, isn't there? Because I think we were all saying this, that there's definitely maybe people that we went to school with, for example, who are living like a very different life from one we've ever decided that we wanted. We called it like the new build envy, which like we all agreed is something like that sort of lifestyle where it's really settled and you kind of stay in the same place and get engaged to the boy you were with in high school and stuff like that. We all were very clear that that's not necessarily what we wanted, but there's still something about seeing that like spot. I don't know. I guess it is jealousy, isn't it? Because like, or like there's something like very different version of your life that maybe you could have had that you don't, that you know you don't want, but you still kind of covet in a weird way.
Yeah. And like, are we maybe just programmed in a covet in that, where like there is something in us where you see someone your age with a set of house keys outside a shiny front door, that just makes you panic.
Yeah, like conditioning.
That looks amazing. Yeah, even though you know that that isn't what would make you happy.
Yeah, it's almost like grass is greener on the other side, isn't it?
I guess with our jobs as well, like, because we're always ending up doing loads of different things at once, and it feels quite like it's not really very finite, you know, whereas when you meet someone who knows exactly what they want to do and they have done since they were like 16, even though I know I'm glad I'm not like that, there is always a part of me that's like a little bit jealous, because I'm like, oh, you're just so sorted now, though. You've like got it all figured out, your whole plan. So I think there's an element of that in.
I think, Brogan, what you were just saying about a new kind of envy where you can kind of sit back and admire them without feeling sick is really lovely. Yeah. And I feel like that says a lot about your nature.
It's not for every case though. Like this is just like, this is just a strand of like the full animal. Like it's one lock of hair from the dog.
I feel like I am like that though. Like I was just thinking that like out of all of the sins, I think envy is the one I connect the least with, because I never really feel jealous of anyone. Like when I did when I was younger, and I was really jealous of all of my friends, and like they were all had money and were really beautiful and slim and blonde, and it was complete opposite of me. And I was always so jealous of them. But like now I almost feel like those friends who I was jealous of in school, they're jealous of me now, because like I don't know, well, I like to think so anyway. Fucking better be. No, but like almost because I feel like they are trapped in that, like, you know, grew up in the same village their whole life, have the same crack, everyone knows your business, whereas I'm very much out of that, and like I moved away and I've done my own thing, and now I know who I am, and I'm very different to everyone else, and I haven't got, you know, I don't look the same as all 20 of my friends that I've been friends with for the last, you know, 18 years or whatever. Like, and I don't know. But then I feel like I still get jealous over my friends now, and I get jealous over you sometimes, but it's in a way that's like admirable of like, oh, you're so great, I wish I was like you kind of thing, rather than a, oh, I hate you because you're stunning kind of way. Like it's that kind of thing. And yeah. I don't get that like pit feeling. So I don't know.
Yeah. See, I think like in a sick kind of way, stalkers, like I get it.
I'm here for it.
Because I think with envy, the loving someone and hating someone is so close together and so like mixed up. And I think of the people who I've felt really jealous of, and when I felt most jealous is when I've been the most insecure in my life. And when you're feeling shit about yourself and your choices and what you're offering, and you see someone else who seems to be offering something cool or trendy or lovely or like whatever, I think like you kind of love them for it, but also hate them for it as well. I think it becomes such a weird twisted kind of like sickness, like we were saying before, about when you could kind of go mad by like, and there's no end point to it, is there? There's no like, yeah. Oh, if I look at this person enough, then I can be like them. Like, it just doesn't work like that. Yeah. The more you go into it, the worse it gets.
Yeah, it is a descent, like yeah. You were saying before, because yeah, there's nothing you can do. Like, no, even if you assimilated every single thing about yeah. them, you would still be second best.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. yeah, so it is like, it's properly like crippling.
Yeah. And you feel like the more you go into it, the closer you're going to get. But actually, the more yeah. you go into it, the further away from being mm-hmm. happy you get.
Biologically, is the reason that we feel envy and jealousy because, like, back in the day, like, if someone had a bigger stick than you and you'd be like, fuck, I need that bigger stick. I'm dead jealous of that, so I'll go get a bigger stick. Like, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, yeah. what is the origin? I'm Why guessing, are humans jealous and envious?
I mean,
envious?
I don't know for definite, but I'm guessing there's something in you that...
Why?
Like, you said you've done your research.
That causes, like, a drive, though.
Yeah.
You know, because... There's something about seeing something that you want makes you more likely to try and get it, which I guess is part of like being human. But
yeah.
I think obviously it's manifested in a sicker way
yeah.
that just ends up making you not satisfied with what you do have.
It's like comparison culture, isn't it? Though, like, it's always like, oh, you know, they've got something better than me, so I need to be better and all that. It's like, It almost ties in with greed, because it's like you're wanting more, like you're constantly feeling like you're not enough, or that like that something else will be better. And it's like, I don't know, I guess it's like we practice telling ourselves we're not enough so much that maybe it's like when someone comes along who appears to have something better than us, we automatically think that looks better, I want that.
Yeah.
Rather than like just being happy with what you've got. Think kind of thing.
Using the word appears is very poignant. Well done.
Thank you. I just winked at Matilda there.
Yeah, because like loads of the stuff that we're talking about is stuff that we've probably seen, I don't know, on social media, like not necessarily things that we know for definite about people. And particularly if you're jealous of someone that you're maybe not actually that close to, there's limited ways in which you can find information out about them. And yeah, it's like a presented version of themselves that you're coveting. And
like, say, so like my friend, she's like absolutely stunning, and she's got like all of the classically beautiful features about your face, you know, like small nose, like little nice beautiful eyes, and like she's just stunning, right? But she absolutely hates herself. So it's kind of like, although like I could be jealous of the fact that she's that like traditionally beautiful, she still hates herself. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's weird, isn't it? Like there's always that other thing going on. Like you don't know everything that you don't know.
Yeah. You're never going to be the best person in the world, are you?
But say I just think that that's unacceptable. Like, unless I'm perfect and the best person in the world at everything, and everyone I meet thinks I'm the best person in the world, then what's the fucking point? I may as well just crawl into a cupboard with shame and die.
If anyone's close enough, it's probably you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think with envy, a fantasy comes into it a lot. I know it does for me. Like, I think, the want to be somebody else or have what they have, I think they're really, really, really similar energies. And I think they're so easy to lose yourself in because pretendy world is always going to be better than the real world.
Even when you know the pretend thing is not nice.
Yeah.
So I think we've talked quite a lot in relation to envy about normal people, because a lot of us and a lot of our friends, particularly like women around the same age, like almost had a complete breakdown. Myself included, after watching that, where I didn't know what to do with myself anymore, because, and it was it was, the only way I can describe it is that it was utter jealousy for every single thing that happened in the show.
Yeah.
And also the actors who were playing, like, there was like multiple layers of it where I was jealous of the characters and that they were getting to play these characters. Like, yeah, there was a lot. And I think there was a moment when I was watching it where it properly hit me. There's like an episode about halfway through where Marianne, the like main character, sort of shows her like in like 6 months apart, but it's the same shot and she's in front of a window. There's this chili plant behind her. And 6 months later, it's like full and flourishing. And I was like, this girl is not only dealing with trauma, a dysfunctional family, heartbreak, she also remains to be the most beautiful, intelligent, like well put together person I've ever seen. And she can fucking keep her chili plant alive for 6 months. And I remember feeling so, so disappointed in myself and everything that I've experienced.
That's ridiculous.
But that's how that show made me feel. And I mean, I thought it was brilliant, but like it really, like it turned me into something that I didn't quite recognise. Because like everything so they experienced, funny. I was like, well, I've not done that, so I'm a failure. And, like the chili plant was just the tip of the iceberg for
so
me.
Funny. No, I couldn't agree more. And I think it was some kind of like psychological phenomena.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, I feel like there was some kind of like, I don't know, something in the stars is.
Like, well, it was a full moon that night.
So. Oh, there we go. That made every woman that I knew and spoke to have an absolute fucking breakdown and question all of their life choices and be really, really sad. And I think when that many women feel something at the same time, like, what is that we are all missing or that we're all craving? Every woman I spoke to was ill.
And it was like, it depressed. Was things where like stuff that before we'd started watching it, we didn't even question, like,
yeah,
wanting to break up with our really lovely boyfriends. Yeah. Because we were so desperate to have their like heartbreaking. And it's weird because you're watching it and they're having a shit time, but there's something about that, like,
but they're so fit about it.
And I guess it's kind of like almost the other end of the spectrum from wanting the kind of like comfy new build lifestyle to like fantasizing about something that's really difficult and emotional and like heartbreaking and gut-wrenching, that even though you kind of know in your head that you shouldn't want that, or you definitely don't, like, you're quite happy with your, you know, I don't know, your secure relationship or your like your loving family, but then there's something about watching these characters where you like question why you want to be living this like trauma that they're going through. It's bizarre. And yeah, I guess that is envy. It does make you like insane.
Yeah, it does. I remember like I had to stop watching it and I remember there was a good, I mean, I'm quite an extreme case when it comes to envy, but like I remember not being able to sleep for a good few nights because it was all that I could think about, and it kind of knocked me head into another dimension, and I couldn't, like, you're so not grounded. You can't remember like what's real, what you actually want, what actually, like, what your life actually is, because your head's so in something else. And I think I hadn't felt like that for a really long time. Because, you know, like, when you're 13 and you really fancy, like, pop stars.
Or Zac Efron.
Or Zac Efron, in my case.
We've been waiting for you to say who it is.
Thank you. It was only a matter of time.
Been on the edge of my seat.
Dear your Aunt Fanny, I love Neil so much. And I don't know how to meet him. I listen to his music every day on my MP3 player. And I have posters of him all over my wardrobe. I saw a photo of him with a girl in Ms. Magazine and I got so angry. I hit me mum. How can I split them up? Please help. From Heartbroken Chick, age 12, from Stanley.
Dear your Aunt Fanny, I have a boyfriend who is in year 8. I have just started year 7. He is very fit and we snog when the bell goes every break time. My problem is, I can't stop thinking about his sister. I think I fancy her. I got me mum a dye me hair the same colour as hers, and I have started speaking with a lisp, like she does. Am I a lesbian? From Confused Gal, aged 11, from Jarrow.
Dear Your Aunt Fanny, I went to see Dizzy Rascal with my big cousin. I shaved my fanny especially in case he saw me in the crowd and decided to take me back to his hotel for sex. He didn't spot me, even though I was wearing my holiday top. I cried myself to sleep. How do I get over a toxic relationship? From Netball Forever, age 13, from Carlisle.
Dear Your Aunt Fanny, I am so in love with Zac Efron, I want to die. I think about him so much, I can't eat my tea. Why is he going out with Vanessa Hudgens when she is a fat bitch? I can't say her name out loud because it gives me diarrhea. I close my eyes when I cross the road so I don't see a van, because it's the start of her name. I am so sad. How can I meet him? From Mrs. Efron, aged 11, from Dunstan.
But like that absolute sickness that you have as a teenage girl where you just love someone so much that you just want to devour them and you know nothing about the world. So all you do is project all of it onto this person and think if you could just be with that person, you'd be like worthy and everything would be fine. And I like hadn't felt that in a long time until normal people when I was like, oh yeah, this is what it's like to have your head like knocked for six and you don't remember what weighs up anymore and you're sick with like obsessing and jealousing.
Did you jealousing. Read the book?
Yeah.
Did you feel the same while reading the book?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, my imagined Connell was not as fit as Connell in the book, in the
I wonder,
in the TV
though,
series.
If it is like the romanticised like apartments and sofas and clothes and
definitely.
Like just the little details that like just get you
like a chili plant.
Stuck in.
There's so many things about.
But how could you not be gutted about real life after you've watched that? How could real life not be a fucking pile of shit after you've watched something like that? Where I'm like, oh well, real life. You know, it's lockdown. I'm single. Like I'm not at uni. I'm skint. I've got a congo outside. Like how can you not? And when you're 13 as well, you're like, oh great, there's some boys in me year who are spotty and talk about wanking constantly and have like pretendy food fights and that. Or you know,
obsessed with South Park.
Or you know, I can think about Zac Efron and his Audi with his fucking chiseled jaw and cheekbones. Do you know what I mean? Are you like, how could real life not be an absolute embarrassment after you've experienced something like that? And I think like, is that responsible?
I was just about to say maybe it's like it's connected in the sense that like real life is shit and it's boring and it's so like mundane and repetitive that like you only it's like another form of escapism, isn't it? Of like, well, it's so shit that I'm gonna fantasize about like me going on a date with Zac Efron and like, you know, like doing whatever you do on a date with Zac Efron. Like, you know, it's like it's taking you out of real life into this like world that could maybe at the smallest chance possibly come true, but it probably won't. So you'll just sit there and be sad and upset about it and pissed off. And
I frankly think it's the whole reason I'm an actress. Just to get
one day, Zach.
So much is coming out
one
now.
Day and you, Romeo and Juliet.
No, I've actually given Zach, up. If you're listening,
he's actually an inch shorter than me, which you know doesn't matter, but it does.
Progressive.
It doesn't matter, but it does. But it does. Like, official line is it doesn't matter, but but it does. Sure, he's gutted.
I could just hear his heart breaking.
So sorry if you're listening.
Yeah, it's funny because the opposite virtue for envy is like gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So, like being content with what you've got rather than wishing you had something else. And it's funny, isn't it? Because I guess that makes perfect sense. But then you're like, well, part of me quite enjoys the indulgence of the the envy, and like you're saying, if my real life is, you know, the spotty boys in high school, then why should I not fantasize about whatever else is out there? But yeah, I guess it's when it starts to like skew your perspective on what's real and not, and what's achievable and what isn't, and like makes you so unhappy with your life that like you can't see a way out of it.
Yeah.
I also think you can go too far with like in any of the other like sins and their virtues. It's like you can go too far with either yeah. side, because like I feel like I have to like actively practice being grateful, but like I've got it to a point where now it's almost like I'm too grateful, where like I don't see like some of the shit things for them being shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'll be like, yeah, so this shit things happen, but it's okay because it means that, you know, I never really give myself the space to be sad or jealous or like I don't give it to myself.
Whereas actually sometimes it's really important to recognize, you're like, this happened to me and that isn't fair, and I'm allowed to be upset about that. Like I don't have to find a way to be grateful about it if that's not appropriate.
Yeah. So I think I do struggle with that.
I think like in real life, the people that I've been jealous of have been women, because I think they do life better than me, or they know how to go on better than I do. And I think that's in culture quite a popular sort of thing, isn't it? Like we're talking about it being in like in Rebecca, where she's insane because she's so obsessed with her idea of this other woman, and that this other woman must have been perfect and everybody else would have loved her, and she was so pale in comparison, and just that feeling of inferiority and madness is, I think, envy in a nutshell, to be honest. And then like Jolene.
It's funny, isn't it, as well, because it's like what you were saying before about the love and hate thing, like all of these jealousies, although they like manifest themselves in like maybe a dislike or a want for the other person to like, you know, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's coming from a place of like, admiration or like awe. I think there's quite a lot of examples of like female friendships as well, like The Pursuit of Love, how the narrator is sort of like, she takes a back seat in order to tell her like friend story, and this friend is like fascinating and beautiful, and all the men fall in love with her, and she's like, she just sort of leaps about and is all like, and this girl's very serious and practical and doesn't tell anything that goes on in her life. That's all like a side note. Her entire time is spent dedicated to talking about her friend. I think there's loads of examples like that, where there's two women who are kind of in that sort of dynamic where, you know, they think the other one is by far superior and let themselves get on by being like, well, the best thing I can be to close to her is her best friend that no one pays attention to. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I think it's really moving. I don't know if it's just because I understand it that I find it really moving, but there's something about it. Maybe it's like female stories. It's still like a little bit different, isn't it, to see like a female friendship rather than like a male female hetero romance, like
or a female friendship that has like envious elements of it, but they're not even necessarily related to their relationship to another man. You know, I think it's more common that people think women can be jealous of each other over a like common love interest or something, but actually it's much more interesting when it's all of these other elements that are making them jealous, and sometimes the fact that they're more maybe desirable to men has got nothing whatsoever to do with it. You know,
I feel like that's like the Fanny's dynamic, is like we're all so in love and jealous of each other from like from like a place of awe and like admiration and respect. Aww. But it's never ever been about men and like fancying a man. It's always been about how brilliant and smart and funny and clever and like kind we are as people who also don't take ourselves seriously but also know when that time is. Like, we've just got the full package, haven't we? But that's what I mean. Like, we all love each other so much that it's like, it's that friendship of like real friendship rather than just bonded over.
But it totally does happen to us, where like, because we're all so in awe of each other that we all take it in turns to be the insecure one who thinks that they're letting the group down. Like, so it's funny, isn't it? Like, in some ways, obviously, yeah, it's amazing that we all know each other and lift each other up so much. But, like, every so often, that does come at, like, you know, a little bit of
price.
Bit of a detriment to, like, our own self, like, worth.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Odd, isn't it?
Yeah. But then we're all there to pick each other back up again. Exactly. So it's nice. But yeah, we all do take it in turns to have a bit of a cry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have had bouts of envy to do with boyfriends quite a lot, in the way, in the sense of, like, I fancy them because they have qualities that I don't have. And, like, if I could attach myself to that, then I'll be that, like, by default sort of thing.
Oh, like, you mean like you've been envious of your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
What kind of qualities?
I think all of the boyfriends that I've had have been very confident and charming and, like, centre of attention. And, like, now I think I find that a bit nauseating, but I think at the time I was like, well, I don't know if I have that much to offer and I'm a bit shy. So if I go out with somebody who is really popular and everybody likes them and they're funny and centre of attention-y, then I can't be that bad if they've chosen to go out with me.
You know what I mean,
Do you know what I mean? And then the envy of, like, yeah, they have a lot of the qualities that I want, and it doesn't stop you being jealous of those qualities. You just ram it down your own throat that, well, I can't be that bad because look how great they are.
Pun intended.
No, judge. making a lot of assumptions, Izzy. I wasn't married, actually. So even though it's women I feel most sick about, like, when I get jealous of them, it makes us ill. But I definitely have been jealous of boyfriends as well.
It's funny, isn't it? Because it's because you're saying that you're jealous of, like, women as a whole, but you might have been jealous of boyfriends in the past. It's it's always with somebody that you know that there's a potential that someone else could be comparing you, I think, which generally with men and women, that doesn't happen very often. But maybe with a partner, there's a possibility that would happen.
Yeah.
And obviously with women, when you're in a room, you're like, well, there's, like, you know, mutual things there. So therefore we're, like, able to be compared. It kind of comes from, like, if somebody outside of this was looking in, I would be the inferior one. That's what you're feeling, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and that can't exist if you don't think someone's going to compare you.
Yeah.
But then why do we do that to people like Vanessa Hudgens and Zac Efron? Do you know what I mean? Like, why? It's like, is it a different kind of jealousy or is it a similar feeling?
I guess it's like, it's not as, like, personal. It's not as, like, imminent. It doesn't affect you.
Hurt as much.
Well, yeah, I mean, it can do, I guess, like... maybe you're the one, like, doing the comparison there. Yeah.
I would just like to say, I did fancy Zac Efron 15 years ago. Like, I'm not a woman in my late 20s who still has posters of people on our wall. It was a long time ago. Just want everyone to know that.
Like,
thank you. But I think it's a bit of a cliche, but it's easy to hate people who you're jealous of. Like we're saying, it's a love-hate thing, but, like, the nastiness, it's a lot easier to just be nasty to somebody who you're jealous of, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, wait, look at her weird face, and, oh, well, she looks shit, and, like,
hairless forearms.
Yeah, because it's funny, isn't it? Like, I think we quite often joke about how it's not cool to bitch about girls anymore. Because, well, you know, and
so
it's not.
2015.
And there's a good reason why it's not, but it is quite amusing sometimes when you see situations where, like, maybe, yeah, a few years ago, somebody would have, like, slagged off, you know, maybe a competitive, like, you know, person, and now they kind of have to be like, well, yeah, maybe you should choose him because he's, like, she's gorgeous and beautiful and she's way cleverer than I am. And, like, that's totally the rhetoric now rather than being like, oh, what a downgrade. Do you know what I mean?
It's,
like, you saw that on Love Island a lot this year.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back to Love Island. It's always where when one of their lads would say they fancied someone else, previously it would have been like,
what a fucking bitch.
She's a fucking bitch. But now it was more like, Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, she's beautiful. She's really clever and she's really... Oh, she's stunning. She's such a lovely person. Yeah, of course. No, talk to her.
Is
no,
that
brother.
What it was like?
Oh, million percent. Yeah,
it was like almost hilarious.
Yeah, to the point where it was like a bit embarrassing in the like... How obviously fake it was.
That's
like autopilot of like
scripted written. By the way, guys, you've got to be nice this year. Yeah.
If you get rejected by a man, you've got to gush over the woman he's left you for. Yeah. Otherwise, so you're a bad feminist.
But I guess it goes back to that, you know, kind of what I was saying earlier about being embarrassed when you're admitting that you're jealous. Maybe there's an element of that in it as well. It's because I don't know, it's that whole cool girl thing, like people are so afraid of being a psycho girlfriend that you don't want to come across like anything's bothered you, or you're like, well, you know, I'm really secure in who I am as a person, so why would I be jealous of somebody else, even if she is going to steal my man, you know? Yeah, I don't know, it's odd, isn't it? Like
I don't have the energy to be jealous because I'm too busy being cool.
Yeah,
I'm too busy being a girl boss.
Yeah.
It's definitely not cool to be jealous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's considered a very bad trait.
Yeah.
And if you're laid back and like secure enough, you shouldn't feel it. But that's like impossible.
Stupid, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember talking to someone once and we were saying like showing you're bothered by something in a new relationship or like if you fancied somebody or whatever is the equivalent of like 10 years ago, the first time them seeing you without makeup on. You'd really like be dead embarrassed. Now it's like, oh no, I showed that I was bothered. Oh no. So it's embarrassed.
It's like a vulnerability thing, isn't it? Like you don't want to admit when something's got under your skin.
But it is a horrible, I feel like it's such a patriarchal like hangover though, isn't it? Of like, well, yeah, you can't be bothered because you don't want to look crazy. Because we know all women are crazy. Here she is. The star of the show. It's Janice here, your neighbour. Look, it's embroidered onto me nighty. See? Janice. Can you read yet? Me neither. Just hanging out me washing. A woman's work is never done, eh? Playing with Barbies, is it? Thought those clothes looked a bit small for you. I would have fit into them back in the day. I'm not joking. Hey, I was beautiful. Gaunt. My husband found us attractive back then. Buggered us silly twice a week without fail. Mondays after the bingo, Friday afternoon on the leather three-piece. He was fun back then. Back when he still took drugs. Those were the good old days, Hinny. I bought this house here for £85. And there was a Woolworths on both corners. Do you remember Woolies? Well, I'll make you remember. You know, you sit around here with your narrow waist, playing on your emails and your Snaptalks, having no idea how easy your generation have it. Glued to your telephones. Do you realise they're bad for your brain? Gives you cancer. Sometimes I think he never loved me. Last night, I put on this posh nighty, especially to get his attention. But he wouldn't even look up from the darts. So you know what I did? I went upstairs and I stuck me breasts against the bedroom window when I knew the 56 bus would be passing. That'll teach him. No, sorry, I know that was inappropriate.
I get something I've always been really envious of, and like since I was a kid, but even now, is other people's relationships with their grandparents. So like when I see people who like, you know, go out with their grandma and granddad and like, you know, celebrate their birthdays, and I don't really have a close grandparent.
Yeah.
A lot of my family live like all over the country. So like I think that families who live kind of all in the same place is something I've been envious of. Like my best friend, Laura, all of her family are either from like Wickham or Blythe. That's like, that's where they are on our dad's side anyway. And then like all of our mom's side live in like Leeds or like around that area, whereas mine are all in the southwest or Scotland or like, you know, somewhere completely random. But I think that's another thing of like wanting something that you don't have, but then like, you know, some people might find their grandparents really annoying, or the fact that, you know, their nana lives just up the street and like comes round every day and invites themselves over and stuff. But I've just always been really like, oh, I wish I had like a nice grandparent who lived up the road. But
yeah.
Or it's that you take it for granted, isn't it? When it's something that
you're
kind of used to, you don't even realise that somebody would maybe covet that or really appreciate having that.
Yeah, I would love it.
And I totally, totally feel that. I totally know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's when we're talking about luck at the beginning, like I think that's what I feel too. When I think like that is just a complete fluke, whether or not you've got a loving grandparent who cares about you and looks after you and you see regularly, like that is just luck of the draw.
I know.
But if you don't get it, then you're missing something that you feel like everybody else has, and it feels so unfair. But it's also not, I don't know, appropriate or chic to complain about it.
Yeah, it's not just something. Look like a twat. Yeah, it's not something that I'm like. That's why I kind of like forgot about it for a bit. It was just like, oh yeah, but then when I see like a nana and their grandkid like walking. And like just walking down the quayside or whatever, like getting an ice cream and like, you know, they've got the bairn for the weekend or whatever. And it's like, I would love that. But at the same time, it's like, but then I start thinking about like, why is the nana got the bairn for the weekend? What's the parent doing?
Like, what's the story?
Yeah. So like, it's weird, but it's that like fantasy of like, oh, I wish I had grandparents, but then like, what would my life circumstance have to be like?
Yeah.
And that comes with a whole bunch of other stuff of like, you know, if I still lived where I was born, like in Plymouth, like what would my life be like? Well, I'd have grandparents, but everything else would be completely different. Like, it's weird, isn't it?
And you're comparing it to the perfect little image of a grandma with her grandkids on the quayside.
Little crochet
and like,
jacket.
Oh,
love it.
Well, everyone would be jealous of
that. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it, with something that feels more maybe sentimental rather than like appearance-based or possessions-based.
Mm.
It doesn't make you feel as bad for having it, but you don't express it in the same way, I guess, because like with some other things, you wouldn't necessarily... like that, you wouldn't want to take that away from your friend or anyone you know or anyone you see. Whereas I guess sometimes with like, if somebody gets a job opportunity that you really wanted, you would be like, no, I would absolutely take that off you to myself, you know? Whereas like, you wouldn't take away someone else's relationship with their grandparents so you could have
you
it, would you?
Steal their grandma.
Go up to a 6-year-old and be like, you've got a nana, you fucking bitch.
Give us your nana.
It's weird that there's like also this other element of it. Because like actually quite often, if you think about it the other way, we were all saying the other week, like you kind of think in your head, you'd be like, oh, I'd love it if someone was like jealous of me for this thing that I'm jealous of this other person for. But actually sometimes when someone tells you that they're jealous of you for a particular reason, it doesn't make you feel very nice.
You don't know how to take it, do you?
No. And I think it's because it comes at a, like at their detriment. Like if somebody's given you a compliment, but only by comparison to their inferiority.
Putting themselves down.
Yeah. It doesn't make you feel very nice.
No,
and I guess it's kind of similar to that where you're like...
Like I wouldn't want to like express it because it's like it's no one's fault and like... But I do still...
But it's almost even more unfair because of those reasons.
Totally. And I think I can choose to take that personally sometimes.
Yeah, I do. I like blame myself and I'm like, well...
There must be something wrong with me that I don't have a grandparent like everyone else does. Or like... Like, it must be because the world's against me that I don't have this thing that everybody else has.
Especially and... more when I was younger. Mm. Like, it was very much like, oh, what are you doing tonight? I'm going around my nana's for a tea. Oh, I don't have a nana, so I can't go around theirs for tea. You know, it was very like that. Yeah. Whereas now I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, that'll be nice, won't it? Sort of thing. Rather than it sort of being a big horrible thing that I like blame myself for. Mm. But I was very much like that when I was younger, I think.
Yeah. I'm still a bit like that now.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I
now know you're not allowed to say it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't know, it's very
that's probably more honest.
Healthier whether I don't know. Yeah. But I think that was a proper revelation when we were doing the prep for this about how we all said that would feel jealous and how mint it would be to know that somebody felt jealous of us. Yeah. How satisfying that'd be. And then when we actually thought about it, we're like, actually, you know, the times people have said that envied something about us, you actually just kind of feel like shit and don't like it and want them to stop talking and not think about it. Like, it is, I think it's an uncomfortable emotion for you to sit with in yourself and to be projected onto you. I think either way, it's like,
well, this is something we were talking about, like, when we were doing the prep, because a lot of the other ones we could kind of see maybe, like a positive in them or a reason why, you know, this shouldn't be considered a sin almost. Mm. Whereas with this one, I think all of us were like, but it's just awful. Yeah. Like, feeling jealous is horrible. When you know people are jealous of you is awful. In all the different facets of it, it makes you feel like ill or not worthy. And the only thing we could really think of as like a kind of positive was that sort of nostalgic jealousy for your like younger self, either in the way that you used to be jealous in like a canny way when you were little before you kind of knew who you were. And now we can say, like we did earlier, you know, that we can admire someone without wanting what they have, and be jealous in a slightly different way because you're more secure in who you are. Or like, I don't know, kind of that thing of like how much easier things used to be when you were younger and all of the things we have to deal with now. Which is a much nicer feeling, I guess, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Being nostalgic.
I think the other only like positive thing was that like it was more about how you deal with it. That it was like, you know, actually being able to admit to yourself that you are jealous and dealing with that in a healthy way is kind of the only positive I can really think of. But then it takes a lot to get to the point where like it takes a lot of self-work and like work on yourself to like get to the point where you can actively go, actually, you know what? I am a bit jealous. And why am I jealous? Well, it's because of this. Okay, well, let's take ourselves out and have a nice time and get over it.
Yeah. Or just that you don't have to be ashamed of being jealous or embarrassed to admit that. Yeah. Because actually that's when it becomes worse, isn't it? When you're like, you're only indulging it in private and you're doing all those things you know that are bad for you, like stalking someone on Instagram or like looking at pictures of Zac Efron over and over again.
Oh, man.
You know, off the top of my head.
Just off the top of my head.
Yeah. And it becomes more crippling. Whereas when we all sit and talk about it with each other, it doesn't feel quite as daunting or...
Yeah. Because we're honest and we're open and it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's nice to say it, isn't it?
I think, like, no emotion should ever be banned. You know, that's going to make you ill inside. If anything is, you say, well, you can't feel that or don't feel that or don't say that out loud or whatever. Like, it's still legit, isn't it, as an emotion because you're feeling it. I suppose it's a bit like wrath where, like, there's not really a safe way to sort of express it. Mm. But I always think, like, the more secure I feel in myself, the less envious I get.
Yeah.
The better I feel about my choices.
Yeah, but I think you're allowed to gain that security from someone else by admitting that you're jealous. You know, like, because sometimes you might say to somebody, like, oh, this particular thing is making me wish I had that. And someone might immediately go, well, you don't need that because you've got all these other things going on, or you already have that thing that you think you don't.
Mm.
And I think that's also a totally legitimate way of, like, making yourself feel better about being jealous. Like, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes it's completely crackers and you need someone to tell you, don't be so stupid.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Also, the more experience you get in life, the less jealous you get because you've got more context behind it. Like, I've got a really good friend who, like, if I was to see a photo of somebody really skinny and looking really trendy and beautiful, I've got a friend who'd be like, aye, but think of the trapped wind in them trousers. And you're like, oh, God, yeah, no, you're right, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. And the longer you, the older you get, the more you have the context behind, like, yeah, but her getting that makeup done will have taken 3 hours and could you be fucking arsed to do that every morning? I don't think so. I think you have much more, yeah, context.
Yeah. And you also you get the context from realising that everybody is jealous about something. Yeah. Like even the person that you see as like the epitome of the ideal woman or whatever it is that you feel like you should be trying to achieve, they're going to have something that they feel insecure about that they look at somebody else and go, oh, I wish I had. And, you know, that context so also sad. Helps, doesn't it? It's it is sad. Awful.
It's just
but, like,
never ending, isn't it? Like, everyone always wants, like...
Oh, that was trying to be
have.
Comforting, but...
Oh, that made me feel worse.
If we were going to redefine envy in a funny way, what would we say about it?
What's the point?
Yeah,
never ending.
Never ending. Yeah. Something about everyone being jealous of something.
I like the descent into madness.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I feel like that's it for me. Brugger, when you were like, but like biologically, why you were jealous though? And the fact that we couldn't come up with like a
real answer.
Yeah.
It's like... You know, everyone is, so what's the point?
Yeah,
like, it's
who's
like,
this serving? What's this achieving?
Yeah. So maybe it's something like it's the biggest unnecessary descent into madness.
Yeah.
That's really good. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's allowed. It's fine. Yeah.
And like what you were saying, like to strive towards other things, you kind of witness other people do it first maybe and then go for it yourself, so it is beneficial in a way to have a sprinkling of envy in your life. But I think it's when it becomes like, I don't know, just masses of amounts.
Yeah. Do you think, I've just thought there, like, could it be a positive thing of you know how like in the arts about exposure to stuff, and if you're never exposed to stuff, then how would you know that you could even do it as a job? Like if you're middle class and have gone to the theatre every weekend your whole life, you know that, oh, being an actor looks quite fun, or I could do tech, or that's a world that exists. But if you've never done that, how can you want to do something that you don't know exists? So would that fall under the envy thing of like, oh, what they do looks appealing and I would like a bit of it?
Well, it's that awe thing again, isn't it? It's like, I wish, you know, I could do something like that or something.
And actually, it's not necessarily a bad quality to recognise goodness or, like,
good
impressiveness
things
in other people, is it?
Absolutely.
Like, it's just how do you do that without, descending into madness?
Yeah. Hating yourself,
your own demise.
A tricky one.
Envy, a tricky one.
Maybe that's the definition.
New definition.
Envy,
a tricky one. Thank you for listening to this episode of Match Made in 7. Join us next Monday when we'll be taking on lust. Subscribe to our channel to be the first to listen. You can find the accompanying playlist to this episode on our Spotify. Just search Your Aunt Fanny. We're also at Your Aunt Fanny on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Sound design and music by Jeremy Bradfield.